Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and today it is my pleasure to have as my return guest contributor, Christina Bianca Harson. Christina, a veteran translator and simultaneous interpreter fluent in English, French, and Romanian, leverages over two decades of linguistic experience. Beyond her professional success lies a transformative journey of holistic healing and spiritual exploration. Embracing Reiki and Tarot, Christina discovered profound healing and self-discovery. Integrating Reiki, energy healing, and intuitive tarot readings, she bridges languages, cultures, and realms of consciousness. Christina guides clients on a transformative journey, unlocking hidden truths and fostering self-discovery. A modern-day alchemist, she transmutes life's challenges into growth, healing, and spiritual evolution opportunities. Christina shares her insights through workshops, classes, and retreats, empowering others to embrace their spiritual journey authentically. Outside her professional pursuits, Christina enjoys nature, yoga, meditation, and cherishing moments with loved ones. And with that, Christina, welcome back to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It's a pleasure having you back on the program today.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's a pleasure for me to have you back.
Our first episode, it actually was episode 93, and we talked about embracing uniqueness and the importance of not comparing ourselves to others' journeys and kind of the pain that goes along with doing that. Today, we're going to talk about multidimensional states of living, one of my favorite topics to explore, with any of my guests. So I'm really anxious to get started with that specific topic. But before we do that, beyond the bio I just read, tell our listeners, especially our listeners who have not heard you before, what you are passionate about.
So beyond the healing modalities, for example, that I offer, I'm also passionate about guiding others into a more aligned and soul-led existence. I believe that healing isn't just about fixing, something that is broken. It's about remembering who we truly are, beneath the noise, beneath the pain, and beneath the conditioning. I'm also passionate about helping people connect with their intuition, unlocking their energetic potential, and obviously rediscover the sacredness in every single day, especially throughout their pain. So there is beauty even in the pain. Yeah.
I like that. And I think for every painful experience we have, it's imperative that we see the beauty in it or try to see the beauty in it once we can begin to integrate and manage our pain more effectively. Once we have sat with our pain enough to learn from it, then we can have the opportunity to look at the beauty of it. And I think that's important to see both sides.
Yes, and truly embrace it. That is, it is mine. The mistakes that I'm making, they're mine. You can't do anything with them. I'm proud of them. The pain that I'm going through, it is mine. So when you integrate these states of being and when you integrate these experiences, it's easier to let go of the attachment that we have towards them and integrate them rather than throwing them under the threshold and just leaving them for the other generation to deal with. Because you see, pain is the only feeling that goes from one generation to the other. Joy and the happiness, that doesn't go from one generation to the other. But the pain continues to be transferred from one generation to the other until the person that is brave enough to feel the entire generational pain that has been passed, it's able to feel it. That is why people, when they say that, I don't know, I'm crying out of nothing. I'm just crying out of nothing and I don't know what's happening. I have a beautiful life. I have a beautiful, everything is so perfect around me and everything is the way it's supposed to be. And still I'm suffering, you see. So that is where the crack has already happened. And that's where we realize that in order to, I wouldn't say save our ancestors, but releasing them from that conditioning that they have been living in, so that we would be able to release ourselves. You cannot release yourself from any pain unless you release the ancestors from which you came. Yeah.
Well, and that's, I think, the basis of generational trauma is that a lot of the rules that prevented individuals and families from reaching goals, leading
potentials,
reaching their potentials has been because of the rules that prohibited that, that have been passed from generation to generation. And from my understanding, our genetic code doesn't have to be altered for that to happen. It just gets passed down from one generation to the next until some intervention occurs where we can, there could be alternatives to the rules that our families and generations of our families have been raised with.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get into multidimensional states of living. What exactly are multidimensional states of living and how do they manifest, Christina?
These are perceived as beyond the physical and the three-dimensional world that we have all been living into. It's basically recognizing that we are spiritual, but not only spiritual, also emotional, mental, energetic beings all at once, and honoring each of those layers. So this can manifest through heightened intuition, deep emotional awareness, synchronicities, having to deal with numbers on a different scale, having to deal with the fact that, you see, people are always talking about past lives. But the lives that we are talking about, the past lives that we are talking about, are nothing more but certain layers that we get to experience at the same time simultaneously. It's just that we choose to tap into a different frequency that we call this life. So you see, in this respect, we are living all of our lives simultaneously at the same time, because the time does not have a past, present, or future. Therefore, we just get to tap into a particular frequency that we call this life. And that is why we remember things. And that is why we are able to tap into those particular infinitesimal strands of energy, which are called neutrinos. This is the finest particle through which information is being transferred. That is why we can, during our night time, during our sleep, for example, we can tap into those neutrinos from in the astral realms, so that we can gather information in our sleep and then obviously prevent us from something.
So basically, it is possible we can live in other worlds simultaneously.
Exactly. So it is possible to live in every single, because you are pure consciousness. So there are like if we think about, we have the spirit from which we all came, we have the soul, and we have the body. Now, when we sleep, we enter our soul, because our soul leaves our body when we sleep, and we get in touch with our soul. And where we get in touch with our soul is in the astral realm. And from there, we gather information. So that is basically another frequency that we're operating from. We can call it a different life, if you will. But then when you wake up, and you see, words are also very important, but I'm not going to digress, but I'm also emphasizing the importance of the words that we are uttering. So when you say good morning, you see, when you wake up, it's actually morning with a U. If you add a U to the morning, it's like you're crying after something, crying after someone that has passed, transitioned, right?
Yes.
So that's why it's important to say happy sunrise, because you're not, when you're waking up, you're not, You know what I mean? So it's important to see the words that we are using because they are the ones shaping our reality. I think that we have discussed about the words like understanding. If you say, I understand, you immediately put yourself in a lower position from a comprehensive point of view so that you will be subject to whatever the person is telling you. Mm-hmm. So on and so forth.
Yeah, I see. So how do we go beyond understanding? I mean, what's the, you know, how do we go beyond understanding, or is there more to just comprehending multidimensional states of living than just understanding them? Or is there something more that we need to do to integrate that?
So when you live multidimensionally, because I guess this is the question, right?
Yep.
So when you start to live multidimensionally, you see life not just as a series of events. So it's not just things are happening one after the other, but as a web of, let's call them, interconnected energies and soul-led opportunities. And the fact that we are talking about manifestation, you do not manifest abundance. You are abundance. You do not manifest, you know, but the frequency that we're operating from when we want to manifest something, that is what changes everything. So again, you do not seek love, you are love. And that is why you are able to bring everything from every single time frame into, like, transpose it into the present in order to literally resurface whatever it is that you have within you.
So beyond understanding, it's about understanding the interconnectedness of all of our experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes
interconnectedness.
That makes perfect sense, because we can understand something, but yet not make the connection. We can understand, well, you know, this is something different that I'm experiencing, but how do we integrate that? How do we see in terms of what we experience in, let's say, in one realm or in one state is connected to our current life now? How is that? How does that happen? And it's just it's learning to connect the dots, which creates that awareness. So we can live multidimensionally by just being able.
Exactly. It's like literally connecting the dots and realizing that that's why people say that they can never change the past. They can, because whenever you speak about the past, you are redefining, you're giving it a new version when you're even uttering. So for example, you are reenacting whatever has happened, but from the present. And that is why you can heal from the present, because you can go into the past and you can acknowledge that this doesn't have to be changed. So if you can heal the past, you can only do it by accepting that it could not have been otherwise. It had to be like that. Like, of all the possibilities in the world, I chose that. The reason why I chose that, I have to honor it. And then we're not going to feel sorry that we did something. Oh, I have wasted my time. Time is boundless. Time is limitless, and time is forever. We just give it a meaning through hours, days, decades.
And I've always said we're living on Spirit Central Time anyway, and Spirit Central Time doesn't dictate that time passes through a clock or a watch or through how we understand time physically to be in this lifetime. So is learning to live multidimensionally, is that something that can be taught, Christine, or is that something you're born with, or how does that work?
It is absolutely innate, because we are all born with the ability to perceive and to live multidimensionally. And the difference between perception and perspective is when you change from the subjective point of view to the perspective that is to the bird's eye view. So if I perceive something as being true, that doesn't mean that it is true, you see, but it's my truth again. So through social conditioning and distractions, many of us do suppress these type of abilities, thinking that they're not useful, you know. Like, the good news is that with, like, intentional practices, you can awaken these type of skills that we have, that they are innate. So we have been born with the entire biological machine that we call life. And that is why they say people have a soul. Well, souls Now, I don't want to get into a debate, but there are also soulless people, you know, out there. So, but not figuratively, but like in the real sense of the world. So obviously genetically modified, you know, designed for a specific purpose. So that's why when you see, so for example, let's take an example. Let's say Princess Diana. Have you ever heard about someone closely connected to her in terms of her love and radiance? You see?
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody that can, like, you immediately realize that there was nobody like her in the entire universe. The way she carried herself and the way all skills and all the beauties of the world in one single smile. When she smiled, actually, it's not that her whole face smiled, but her whole energy smiled. Like it was like literally something ablaze, you see?
Yeah.
And that's where people who resonate with that, it is really getting in touch with your soul, getting in touch with who you truly are and honoring the fact that you are like that, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things is just to backtrack a little bit. When you mentioned that we are abundance, that we are love, I remember reading in The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, and one of the teachings in that book is that, why should we have to earn anybody's love when we were born with love to begin with? But yet we go through this life thinking that we need to earn somebody's love, or we're not lovable because of the contracts that we've entered to in this lifetime, or family history, or other experiences. But in reality, we were born with this, and we just need to be able to see the love in ourselves, realize that this, we were born with this, and we don't have to earn it.
Exactly. You don't have to earn anything to be loved, because love does not require any price. Love does not require any condition. I do not love you because, you know. So love is just love. Like if you have a feeling, you need to, if you want to express it, that is because you're not coerced to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, even if you are coerced to smile, you can do it for one minute, 2 minutes, but you can't do it forever. At a certain point in time, truth will resurface.
Yeah.
You see? So that is why it's important to honor whatever feelings it is that we have come across with, whatever feelings we experience, because they show us what needs to be, like, it's almost like looking into the mirror. Okay, I was angry. Why was I angry? Let's see, where did this anger come from? Because it definitely does not come from the person that I'm talking with. It definitely comes out of something that if I keep feeling that anger, and eventually that feeling of anger will get stored into my liver, and then the liver will get hurt. And then I'm asking myself, oh, I have smoked too much, or, oh, you know, all sorts of, but it's literally all the organs are getting the organs are suffering because of a particular feeling that lowers our energy.
Yeah, particularly our thoughts impact our physical health. And that goes back to Dan Condren's permanent healing. And when he talked about that,
yeah,
specific types of thinking that can contribute to specific physical ailments, so that if we can change the way we think, we can change the way we feel physically. And obviously, you know, it's good to be in the hands of a good, competent medical professional, but certainly our physical health is impacted by our experiences, how we interpret those experiences, and what our thoughts are about life in general. They can impact how we feel. For me, I just turned 70, and I feel better at 70 than I ever felt at 35 because of my attitude, because of my thinking, because I'm also mindful of taking care of my body. And I wasn't mindful of that 35 years ago, but now I am. And it's all because of the fact that I've tried to keep a very positive mindset, because I realize how that influences physical and emotional health.
Especially the emotional health. And by the way, happy birthday. Well, it was the 1st or the 2nd of July.
It was June 30th, as a matter of fact. And we're recording on July 5th. So it was this past Monday, the 30th.
Oh, okay. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. And I've told my wife, I can't believe I've lived this long this quickly, but getting older is a privilege, and I realize that a lot of people haven't had that opportunity. So I'm grateful for every day that I wake up and I can be of service. So,
yes, when I was in the U.S., I got the chance to meet a couple of wonderful people. And whenever I went to Panera, you know, that I was working there at Panera, yep. Panera Bread. And I was always asking before I went into my shift, I was always asking the people whom I have known, how are you? And they're like, hey, doesn't matter how I am. I am alive. That's all that matters. And yeah, they were happy that they got to live another day. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, no day is guaranteed. I mean, you wake up one day and just everything changes, you know, just because of a death, because of somebody that you just talked to the day before, all of a sudden they're part of the physical world. So I've learned to be thankful for every day that I have, you know, in this life. So,
and every single moment, actually.
Absolutely.
Every single, yeah.
Like these moments I get to spend with great guest contributors like you, that's part of what keeps me going too, is being able to connect with people like yourself. So
I'm honored to hear that.
Well, it's true. So anyway, getting back to living multidimensionally, are there any barriers, internal or external barriers, that prevent individuals from celebrating and utilizing their innate skill to live multidimensionally?
So I guess that we have already started with the fear, which is basically number one barrier. It's not in the physical body, but as we said, in the emotional body. So it's the fear. It's the fear that would be the greatest barrier. And then we also have the self-doubt, right? The self-doubt that who am I to do that? Or who do I think I am in order for me to be doing that? So it's also the self-doubt that I'm not going to live up to the expectations that are required of me. And obviously the unresolved trauma. But actually, many of us were taught to ignore the inner wisdom. And even if we know about the inner wisdom, we're not going to use it because it's dismissed, you know, like we were taught to dismiss anything that cannot be logically explained. So, and put it on, this is how God's will was or something within this. Like you always blame on the external entities, the things that you were responsible for. So externally, these are internal. And externally, we're constantly bombarded, right, by a world that values productivity over presence, logic over intuition. And the logic is as important as the intuition is. It's just that it took over. And there are several ways in which logic has always taken over when it came to things that couldn't be explained.
Yeah. And I think there's room for both logic, metaphysical explanations, spiritual practices. I think together they can give us a greater understanding of how we relate to the world and our own behavior in their world.
Exactly. Exactly. And you see the noise of the modern life, it can also drown our soul's voice. And it is only when we begin to trust ourselves again, we basically reclaim that connection, the connection with ourselves. The sense that we belong to ourselves and to nothing, nobody else. Like we don't have to feel the need that we belong to someone or to a specific place.
Yeah.
And it hurts because sometimes there are many people who think, I do not belong here. I do not belong here. Like, what am I doing here? And you kind of feel lost. But in feeling lost, you get the chance to discover yourself. Like in feeling lost, you get the chance to find yourself.
And I've heard people say, you know, I really don't feel like I belong in this world. And it's not because they're suicidal. It's just individuals will come in with such advanced spiritual knowing from other existences that they just feel that they're kind of like out of place, you know. And I've also worked with students who are very multisensory, who live in multidimensional worlds, and are very intuitive and can connect through a variety of different means. And have been afraid to own it because, as you mentioned, in terms of society's value on logic, societies value on, and, you know, if it can't be proven empirically, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So my students have said, you know, I've been afraid to admit this because of the fact that I'll be feared as being not believed or even viewed as being crazy. And I assure them that I have many individuals in my circle who live multidimensionally, who think multidimensionally, and they enhance my life because I learn a lot from being in their presence. And it also expands my horizons so that I can learn to create greater awareness for myself by just simply connecting the dots of everything that happens to me, whether it's through numerology, whether it's through signs, whether it's through other types of serendipitous occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
I've just learned to, okay, there's other factors that aren't science-based that are operating, but yet they are still real to me. And that's all that matters.
Exactly. And the science proves us that science without that metaphysical explanation cannot exist. So science without spirituality cannot exist. They intertwine.
Yeah.
You know, like the light, for example, that is being reflected, refracted, and they create all sorts of lasers. But then we also know that the light can travel through different, like when you have a different medium, the light splits into two. Therefore, yeah. we get to the same idea that we live in different realities at the same time. It's all happening at the same time because time is limitless. Yeah.
And you look at, you know, even in early psychology, you take a look at Sigmund Freud, you take a look at Carl Jung. They did a lot of writings on dream work. Jung was, came up with the prototypical archetypes or symbolism that is such a part of our dreams now. He talked about the shadow element. I mean, these are all spiritual concepts that have been a part of psychology for years, centuries. So why not embrace it? Why not, let's make sure that there's a room for both science and spirituality to coexist and to be integrated. So, and honestly, the jump between psychology and spiritual practices and holistic practices may not be as big as we think because the science proves in many cases that spiritual practices improve physical and mental health outcomes. So is there really that kind of a schism between both worlds? I don't think so.
Everything is intertwined.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just like multidimensional living, everything is interconnected.
Indeed. And even with this fear, if we turn our fear into our asset, it's nothing more beautiful but to befriend your fears.
Yeah.
You know, like this is my friend. I have, the fear is within me. And still, I'm going to have the courage to show you my fears. So that is an opposite, right? Like fear, courage, and that doesn't make sense. But yes, you are going step by step with courage and with the fear at the same time, without knowing that none of them can take over your essence.
And if our fear becomes an asset where it causes us to be more courageous, to step into our truth and to speak our truth, then that fear has that positive element to it. It's no
exactly.
Way. And yeah. We talk about the yin and the yang. There's a positive to every negative. You know, my anger could give me the energy to set a boundary that I could not have set before. And as long as my anger isn't destructive, if it gave me that energy to do it, I could look at that as a gift. The saddest people I know turn to the most compassionate souls that I know. Confusion, if we're confused about something, allows us to go within and figure it out. So there's always a yin and the yang to everything. It isn't either or.
It's neither, exactly. It's neither nor. It's not either or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we can learn to live multidimensionally, if we can just embrace this and step into our multidimensional truth, what are the benefits that living multidimensionally are going to have to ourselves and to others who are part of our social support circle?
You see, when we embrace this particular multidimensional living, we align with ourselves. We are more peaceful. We are content with whatever it is that we have, knowing that when you know better, you do better. So it's not that you're refraining from finding excuses, but literally you come to the realization that when you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
And it has always been like that. And you create a place of authenticity. And you see, even if people that are not like you, that you were surrounded by, and they wanted something from you under the pretense that they were friends, or, you know, they wanted your highest good, they will immediately disappear, because obviously they cannot stand your energy. Energy cannot be translated. So we only resonate with whatever we need to resurface.
Yeah.
And if we need to resurface something that doesn't feel in alignment with our true selves, we will have to find people with whom we resonate, because it is those wounds that we need to resurface. And we become more compassionate. Like when you see a person who is angry, you will know that the pain, they could not process the pain. A person who is angry could not process the pain. And that is why somehow it has to come out somehow. And you become more grounded. You even when you, a simple hugging a tree can help you restore your electromagnetic field, because we are electricity. And obviously you start to become more intuitive. Like you start to reason through the filter of your intuition and not necessarily through the filter of your brain. So first, when you reason, the filter goes through the intuition, and it will always lead you to the correct path. The heart will always know whether this person is okay or not okay to be around.
Yep. Yeah.
And this ripple effect extends to our families, to our communities. And even if they don't want to admit it, at a certain point, they will be exhausted of contradicting you, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, it's our job to not really contradict somebody's experience, but to understand it and see where we can align with it, see what parts of it we can perhaps utilize to expand our own perspective. The world, I think, would be a better place if we all just learned to understand each other.
Yeah, indeed. And you see, that doesn't mean that spiritual people, everyone is spiritual. I had clients who asked me, am I spiritual? And I'm like, everyone has that particular part of everyone is spiritual, but not in the sense that am I being awakened. Everyone is awakened to their own level.
That's right.
You cannot be more awakened, you know, to your own level. It is as awake as you can be to your own level.
Spirituality and spiritual awareness is cultivated in such a variety of different ways. It's a very individualized process. I mean, you could look on the internet and type in holistic practices and come up with a bunch. Mm-hmm. And it's whatever resonates to help you create awareness of your greater gifts in yourself, how you can manifest those to the world, and also a sense of connection to something greater than yourself, which is a key element of spirituality, is being connected to something that is greater than ourselves. And however we get to do that, whatever practices we take, we use, as long as it works for you, it's, who am I to question it? There's many different paths of spiritual awareness. Learn to pick the ones that resonate with us, that our intuition can also guide us to.
Yes. And you see, when one person heals, I mean, nobody can heal anyone. We know that. Like, you cannot heal anyone. Nobody can heal you. Like, if you are surrounded by people that help you heal yourself, that is the bonus.
Yeah.
Right? Because when one heals and it expands, it gives the permission to others to do the same. Like, it's this shift. And when you were talking about the connectedness, it's what separates us from surviving to thriving.
Yep.
When you survive, you feel disconnected.
Yep.
And when you thrive, you see the connectedness between people. So that is thriving, literally thriving.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, for individuals going through trauma, survival might be a necessary mechanism to give you the energy to get through the next day. But survival—
That is the first step.
That's the first step. But survival by itself isn't going to lead to transformation, redefining our perspectives. It's reaching out for support. It's that connectiveness with others. Humans were not made to thrive in a bubble. you know, that they were meant to thrive with the support of others who would support our journeys in a very nurturing and very safe community. And that's, yeah, but you're absolutely right. It's, you know, we can't thrive without others. We can't thrive without that sense of connection.
But of course, at the base of the pyramid, it's the surviving. Yeah. Otherwise, how can you experience that's why we came into the 3D that's why we came as from pure consciousness. We came to experience this flesh and bone.
Yep.
This physicality.
And there's a lot to be said, Christina, for the innate will to want to survive challenge, because like you said, that's the next step to thriving and re-engaging in life with purpose and learning to live multidimensionally, as we've been talking about. So
indeed.
Christina, if you could leave our listeners with just one takeaway today, what would that be?
First of all, as Brené Brown said, I love her works. You have the duty to belong to yourself. So this is the term that she coined. I'm not sure, but it's not mine. So when I heard about this, this was purely transformative for me. So you have the duty to belong to yourself. She was not even mentioning about love, you see, because we know that love, it's all there is. But duty is the same as we were talking about the surviving, you see.
Yeah.
So surviving duty. And then we come to thriving and love. So we have the duty to belong to ourselves in the first place. And that is the starting point. So that is, we do not need to separate our thoughts from our feelings, from our words, and from our actions. They need to be aligned in order for us to reach to that thriving place. They need to be as aligned as possible in order for us to start to embrace the wholeness that we came from. And the soul is always speaking through feelings, through signs of feathers, like through the quiet knowing. And you're not broken and you are not lost. You are just remembering. And every step you take inside of yourself is a victory. And that is what I call the true victory. I might have a lot of degrees, but I don't identify myself with those degrees. And why? Because I know that these degrees mean nothing to my soul. My soul does not have an identity in terms of name. Like, they are just tools. But if we see them as tools, it's okay. If we identify ourselves with those tools, then it is when we go down and we start to deplete ourselves from our authenticity. And we start to mold ourselves based on other people's interests, because we are easily bought that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're not broken, you're not lost. You're just remembering.
And everything that happens is to us, good or bad, is in service to us for, you know, the greater evolution of ourself, of our soul. And if we can look at what happens to us as simply information, like you said, that we can use to continue to evolve. And the spiritual awareness doesn't just involve the good moments.
No.
I think the best spiritual work we do is when we get into the messy parts of ourselves and we come through it with greater awareness.
And we also fold, and we can also be depressive, and we can also cry all day long. That doesn't matter. We need to honor whatever it is that we are dealing with. Yeah. That doesn't mean that, oh, now I'm very spiritual, I don't have to cry, it's just an illusion. No, just, you know what I mean? Like, allow yourself to feel the feeling.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to feel, to really feel the feeling, but do not dwell in it.
Yeah.
If it makes you go down.
Yeah.
Rise up, like, feel the feeling, but then do not dwell inside of that feeling.
And I think if any feeling can make us more compassionate, can make us more loving, then that feeling has been in service to us.
Indeed, indeed.
Christina, if individuals want to find out more about your services and connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
So the best way to do that is through my website. It's ReikiTarotHealing.com. And from there, they can find all the links to the social media. which is the same. Reiki, tarot, healing, it's the same. Instagram, Facebook. And also, I have another website which is dedicated to professional translations. So that one is Polyglot Precision Translations. Okay. And that's all there is.
That should be a good start for individuals who want to find you. You got to have a social media presence, a web presence. So I'll make sure all of that gets in the episode notes before it's published. But anyway, Christina, sure. Thank you so much for spending a time with me again this morning. As always, I enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to future conversations.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. It was an honor for me, too. You take care.
My pleasure. And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.